thank you for the opportunity to be here at the conference. It's been a little while since we've been able to be here, and we greatly enjoy it and very thankful for it. If you turn in your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24, says, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's what I'd like to speak to us about this morning is, Lord, help thou my unbelief. You think about how true that statement is, I believe, for everybody. Within our belief as a child of God, there's still a great measure of unbelief that we find from time to time concerning certain things. And, you know, sometimes we might look at something in life and say, well, there's just no way, you know. And then we might look at some things and say, well, you know, maybe. But it's seldom that we look at it and say, well, that's absolutely, you know, possible. That's really going to happen. You know, if we go out here walking around in the woods and come across a bridge, we might look at it and say, well, there's no way that thing's going to hold me up. And in that sense, we don't have any doubt about it. We're 100% sure that it won't. But there's other times we might look at it and say, well, I think it might. And that's, I believe, where we stand most of the time. Sort of maybe 75% sure and about 25% wondering, you know. And many times we find ourselves in that place of belief and yet having that measure of unbelief there at the same time. And you think about, we don't find ourselves very often in complete 100% belief. We don't find ourselves there very often. It seems like the more time that we spend here upon this earth, the less belief that we have, a lot of times you might say. And you think about why that is. Why that is that we find that to be true. And the reason, of course, is because the longer we stay here upon this earth, the more reasons we find to not believe, the more reasons we find to doubt. Because there's so many circumstances that come our way in this world that Satan tries to use to bring fear and doubt and all of those kinds of things up against us. Think about over in the book of John, chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We need to realize that even though we're here in this world, and this world is indeed full of tribulation, it's full of trying times. Those things are there for our growth as a child of God. They all and each and every one have their purposes. And God controls those things. But we need to realize that as a child of God, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've got that victory. We've got peace even in that time of tribulation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that peace. And we should be of good cheer knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcame all of those things and that through Him we can see the victory in all of those things. And when those trying times come our way and those trying circumstances come our way that try to rob us of our belief, then we need to turn and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You think about Peter over in the book of Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, beginning there in verse 13. It says, When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You think about how Peter in this particular passage seems to be full of belief. Seems to be full of belief. We don't find any doubt there. When Jesus asked him this question, he answered as if he were in full confidence of this answer that he gave. And you notice that when Christ commends him for what he had said, that the Lord points out that Peter would not have known this at all had God not been the one that revealed it to him. Jesus said, Who do people believe that I am? And, well, some believed that he definitely wasn't the Messiah, but probably John the Baptist, maybe, or perhaps he was one of the Old Testament prophets brought back to life. But they didn't believe he was the Messiah. And then Jesus said, Who do you believe that I am? And Peter was the first one to quickly answer and answer with full confidence, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. He believed that. He had great confidence in that. But Peter, although he didn't seem to have any doubt here in this passage of Scripture, he's only a human being. He's just like us. And we find that there were other times that Peter had belief mixed with that unbelief. You think about the book of Matthew in chapter 14, turning back a couple of pages. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24 through verse 29. This was when Christ had sent his disciples on ahead of him in the ship, and he was walking by land. They're out there in this ship in the night, and it gets stormy. And we read here in verse 24, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now you think about this for a moment. Here the sea was throwing these waves of water into the ship, tossing the ship back and forth. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. And I'm sure they wasn't expecting Jesus to come that night walking on the water. They knew where they had left him at, and they were on this ship. They didn't really expect that to happen. And his disciples see him walking on the water, but they become fearful and afraid because they don't realize that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cried out for fear. They thought maybe it was a spirit. They were scared. But then when Jesus cried out and said, Fear not, it's me, we find that old Peter recognized that voice. And he cried back out to the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on that water. You think about that. See, Peter believed that if God called him to walk on water, that he could walk on water. Peter believed that. I mean, he believed that, you know, even though it wasn't a natural thing for a man to walk on water, he believed that if God called him to walk on water, he could walk on that water. Peter believed that. And you think about how Jesus answered him and said, Come. And what did Peter do? Peter, full of belief, knowing that if God called him to walk on that water, he could walk on water. jumps out and takes off, just walking across that water, just like it was a sidewalk out on Main Street somewhere. Takes off walking. Not a doubt in his mind. But then you look in verse 30, and it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." The doubts of the world started creeping in. We have a lot of boisterous winds in this life that we live in. A lot of troubled waters. But you think about how Peter, he took his eyes off from the one who called him. Then the unbelief began to creep in. But it wasn't until he took his eyes off from the one that called him. He took his eyes off the one who called him, and he began to look around at all those boisterous waves, and those waves began to cry out, "Peter, I'm going to swallow you up, and you're going to drown." And he became frightened. That's you and I many times in this world that we live in. We have that belief when God calls us, and we jump out and we take off following the Lord. But sometimes if the journey is quite long that He's called us on, or things get a little rough and rocky along the way, we begin to look at all those obstacles. And then some fear and some unbelief begins to creep in. We forget who called us on the journey. And we begin to look at all the obstacles along the way on that journey. And you think about when we do that, as we look at those obstacles, we begin to sink in our own despair. We begin to drown in those things. And when that begins to happen, we need to be just like Peter and cry out, "Lord, save me! Save me from this despair! Save me from all these obstacles that are surrounding me." You think about how wonderful it is to know that the Lord is there in those times. I mean, no matter how hard we try in this life, we're going to find anxiety inside. We're going to find a little voice of unbelief saying, "Is it really going to be all right? Is it really going to work out? Are things really going to be okay?" You think about over there in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I think Brother Hancock mentioned this last night. There in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." You think about the wonderful land that God had given the children of Israel. I mean, you notice in verse 2 it says, "I give you." He had already promised it to them, already given it to them. I mean, it was a done deal as far as the Lord was concerned. God did not tell them to go out there and look at the land to see if they could take it. That wasn't the idea of going into the land. He said, "Go out there and look and see the land that I have given you. Go look at it." And you think about when they went there in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Notice he tells them it does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, with some of the giants, and which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You notice that these men, they admit that the land really is great, like God said. It really was flowing with milk and honey, just like God had said. But then they quickly leave that, and they begin to talk about all the mighty people, though. The walled cities, though. And they begin to point out all these obstacles that they see. But then old Caleb breaks in. And he says, let's go take it. Let's take it. And you think about how he cried out. He said, we're able. Caleb had his eyes on the God who had called them on that journey. The others were forgetting about the one who said, come. And they were looking at all the obstacles that stood in the way of their going. You think about the difference in those two things. The people said, we're like grasshoppers, and they're like giants. Doubt and fear began to fill their hearts, and they began to sink in that despair. You look in the 14th chapter there of Numbers, in verse 1 through 10, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. You see how he looked at it. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You think about out of those who searched out that land, here Joshua and Caleb were filled with belief and ready to go. But nobody else was. They were filled with belief and ready to go, but all the others cried out, stone these men. Caleb and Joshua could still see the God who called them and said, come. Come into the land that I give you. If God told Peter to come, it didn't matter that there was water and wind there in the obstacles along the way. There in the 89th Psalm, I was reading this morning, in the 89th Psalm in verse 9, it says, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. The Lord's in control of those boisterous winds and those cracking waves. The Lord is in control of all of those things. You read all throughout the Word of God, it tells us about all those things. It says the stormy winds and the hail and the snow carrying out God's Word. Carrying out exactly what God decreed for it to do. If God said come, it did not matter that there was some walled cities and some giants along the way. It didn't make any difference. Didn't mean a thing. But you think about how we ought to strive to be like Joshua, like Caleb. We should strive to keep our eyes on the Lord that said, come. Amen. And not on the circumstances and all the obstacles that lie along the way of that journey that the Lord has called us on. We're only human beings, though. We realize that we see certain circumstances and things come our way, and that little doubt and fear and unbelief does creep in upon us. And that's when we need to be like the man in our text. We need not to be afraid to cry out, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And realize that unbelief is there. And God can help us overcome it. He's the one that gave us any belief at all to begin with. You think about, we need to be like Peter. And, you know, when we get out there and we jump out and we take off on that journey that the Lord has called us on, and then for some reason we do begin to take in those circumstances and we begin to sink in despair, we need to be like Peter and cry out, Lord, save me! And the Word of God assures us that God will be there. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13 and verse 5 there, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. No matter what it is that's going on in this life. You think about what we're told in the book of Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10. It says, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? You think about how we as parents love our children. I have three children and I love my children. You think about how we would do anything for our children. I mean, we'd do anything that we could for our children. If it took every penny that we had to keep them from starving or certain things, we would make that sacrifice for our children because we love our children. We would even lay down our life for one of our children. I mean, we love our children. We would gladly, I'm sure, die for one of our children because we love our children. And if our children said, I'm hungry, Dad. I'm hungry, Mom. We won't hand them a rock. We won't go out and pick up a big stone and say, here you go, have a feast. We won't do that. We love our children. We'll give them the best of whatever food that we could provide to keep them from being hungry. You think of the truth of that. And yet in verse 11 here, Matthew chapter 7, it says, if ye then being evil, we're just evil. I mean, that's what we are by nature. It says, if we by nature know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If we, just being depraved human beings, are able to do those things, how much more can we trust in God? If we can trust in our parents the way that we ought to do, how much more can we trust in God? You think about, you know, when your children, especially, if you're raised in a normal, or what used to be normal anyway, normal home, normal today wouldn't be what we would call normal probably. But you know, when I was a kid, my dad was my hero. And I always said he was about 8 foot tall, was about 350 pounds of solid muscle. Everybody that's ever met my dad knows that he's a little short, ball-headed guy. And you think about how things change. I mean, when I was a kid in my eyes, Dad was huge. He was huge and he could do anything. I remember he would come home from work on second shift and I would catch him sometimes as he came in. He had worked at this factory back then. He had on a button-up shirt. And I'd say, Dad, do Hulk! And he'd go, ah! And he'd pop the buttons on his shirt. But he probably weighed about 110 pounds. But in my eyes, he was so big. And I could remember getting him in trouble. I could remember a boy I went to school with. His dad was about this tall and about this broad. And he said, my dad could whip your dad. And I said, oh, no, he couldn't either. My dad could wear your dad out. And I went home and was telling my dad about our conversation, and we happened to all live in the same neighborhood. I said, that boy down the road straight, I told him you could whip his dad. And he said, you did what? And I said, I told him you could take him. And he was trying to change the subject and things. But in my mind, as a child, if Dad said I could fly, I would have believed I could have jumped and flew off a bridge like a bird. But then as I got a little bit older, I figured out that Dad was still great, but he was just a human being like me. I figured out he could trip over his shoelaces like I can. I figured out he could mash his thumb with a hammer like I could. He could get lost trying to get everywhere he went, just like I do. And you think about how if we can trust and have such confidence in just another human being, why is it that we can't have such confidence in God? I mean, when we're children, it seems like when we're children, you know, we're so innocent. I mean, we're not really innocent, but in our minds, we haven't been polluted and corrupted, and we haven't been given the realization that everything's not perfect. We haven't seen all these obstacles that are in our way. And therefore, we have such belief. We have such trust. We have such confidence. But the older we get, it starts leaving. And we find out that there's a lot of waves out there. There's a lot of obstacles in this life that we live in. And the more we deal with those obstacles, many times, the more fearful we get. But as a child of God, it ought to be the other way around. The more obstacles that we go through, the more confidence we ought to have as a child of God. Because we look and we see things back there in our past that we thought, you know, I'd never get past this point. And now we look and we see where God has brought us to in this life. I can only imagine what some of the people that I grew up and went to school with and things would say if they could see me preaching behind a pulpit right now. I mean, there's some people that would probably say, who? He's doing what? I mean, but we look and see things that God is through in this life. And it ought to make us strong. We need to follow the Lord when He says, come, and not worry about all the obstacles that stand in our way. As long as we're sure that it's the Lord that we're following, that it's the Lord that said come, we should have no trouble following wherever it takes us. And you think about how true that is. May God help our unbelief. May God remove those seeds of doubt that Satan tries to plant in our life. And remember, in closing, what we mentioned there in John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's no reason, if we're a child of God, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, why we can't have peace. Through no matter what this life brings, we can have peace. Whether it's death, sickness, illness, whatever comes our way in this life. I mean, look at all the Bible examples that the Lord has given us. Shows us people in prison, been persecuted and put in prison, and yet sleeping soundly over there in the book of Acts. So soundly, and it didn't fall asleep in fear. Said when the angel had to wake him up, lay his hands on him to wake him up, he had to tell him to put his clothes on too. He went to bed in peace. He wasn't worried about whether or not his head was going to be chopped off the next morning. Because even through those trying circumstances he had peace in the Lord, knowing that God is in control of those circumstances and the enemy's sword and all of those various different things. So may God help us in our unbelief. And when we do find that unbelief creeping in, may we not be afraid to cry out like the man in our text, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." We thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.